Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's September 10th, 2013. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the East Village and the Good Beer Seal. I've got some great guests tonight. I got Ben from Queens Kickshaw, another Good Beer Seal bar. How are you, Ben?
I'm great, thank you. How's it going,
We've got some fine gentlemen from Pilsner Urquell. Guys, introduce yourselves. Vaslav?
Hi, I'm Vaslav Berka. I'm Trade Brewmaster from Pilsner Urquell.
All right, and this gentleman here.
Hey, I'm Francis Ekstaska. I'm from Hospoda, Master Bartender.
And he just won the Master Bartender competition for Pilsner Urquell. I saw him in action. He's a Zen master. He has the side pour, and I don't think any of the Americans really know how to do it. Zeke, this is Zeke from Pilsner Urquell too. What's his secret? Because this guy was like the Zen master of pouring Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah, I am Zeke, the trade quality manager from Pilsner Urquell, and. Actually, František has a lot of practice with the side pour, so he really knows how to pour the beer with it. And it's about practicing. It's similar like a golf. If you don't practice, you don't play well.
Well, it looks like he practices a lot. And we've got from Big Alice Brewing, we've got a whole bunch of guys here. You guys introduce yourselves. We had you on WNYC when we did the craft beer jam this summer. Great to have you back.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm Scott Berger.
Here we go. Robbie Crafton.
And Kyle Hurst.
All right. So we're going to be drinking a lot of great beers from Big Alice and Pilsner Urquell today on the show. And we'll also have a call-in from Tad Fisco at the Portland Kettle Works, who's made some beer systems for some New York State breweries. So here we are. Thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. They bring the best beer to you, and you can go to Beer Cloud to learn where to get it. I'm taking the 100 test again. I'm going to try to get 100 on it. They have some great tests and education as well on GreatBrewers.com. Ben, at Queens Kickshaw, In Queens, do you do any type of beer education? Do you ever use the Great Brewers Test online for your staff?
No, we don't use the Great Brewers Test, but I do know it's a great resource. But recently, actually, a number of our staff has started doing the Beer Cicerone certification program. So
the server or the real
beer server, beer server,
the beer
starters.
Server, yeah.
But we've had a number that have passed that or are going on.
So as a bar owner, I mean, what do you, because we're honoring Frank today, who won the Master Bartender competition at Pilsner Urquell, and, you know, he's got this deep training. He was bartending in the Czech Republic for a long time, and you can tell by the way he keeps his bar, he is a professional. But for you here in America, you know, you don't have these traditions. You know, how do you expect your staff to learn how to be good bartenders?
It's always a challenge.
Servers.
It's always a challenge for sure, especially for us because we're also a restaurant and a coffee shop as well, and there's so much to learn about food and coffee and everything. And so it's a constant sort of educational circle. And fortunately, we've got a lot of great people on our staff that just really want to soak up information, and it's great. But I mean, with the kind of turnover that you would expect in a restaurant industry, it's just an ongoing circle of education.
So Zeke, I'm gonna ask you to. I know Frank speaks some English, but you may have to translate a little bit. So, okay. First of all, he bartends at the Hospoda, which is a Czech bar restaurant.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And is there a connection with the Czech consulate? Is there any connection with the Czech government or the Czech consul?
František, je tam nějaké spojení na český konzulát? Je tam nějaká spolupráce?
Ano. Yes.
Ano,
konzulát sídlí přímo v budově u nás a přímo pan konzul má rád plzeňský pivo a rád chodí k nám ho ochutnávat a testovat a plně nás podporuje.
Okay, so basically the cooperation is very simple. The consulate is based in the building and Mr. Consul basically likes the beer, so he do his quality checks quite regularly and make sure that the beer served there is perfect.
So do you think, and Vaslav too, you know, you travel the world for Pilsner Urquell, but let's talk about, you know, he won the Master Bartender competition yesterday. What do you think? Are there some qualities that he developed working in the Czech Republic that sets him apart from the other bartenders.
Yeah, we are on the way. How we really will support quality of the market, because every brewmaster will agree with me that usually beer in the cellars of brewery is excellent. But on the way to consumer, sometimes could happen that by bad caring, the beer is horrible. And this is our way. This is our training for the people. And we already organized this competition for bartender 8 times. Frank is 8 winner in this U.S. And after then we organized this meeting for all countries who served Pilsner as a draft beer. And maybe Frank from Hospoda will be world champion in pouring Pilsner Urquell. But this is not about only pouring. This is about skills and caring about the beer. This is about knowledge about history and production of the beer. Because a bartender should be a leader, boss in the bar. And he should communicate with everybody and exploit everything. And people should going to special pub only because there is his friend, master bartender.
Let's ask Frank. So, Frank, when you open the bar, how many days a week do you work at Hospoda?
Before 1 year, I'm working about 6-7 days, because I'm only me behind the bar, and after I'm in the training is American guy is Mickey Alexander. He's now at the training in the Czech Republic, in the Prague, and now I have second is Jiří Holec. He was in the third in the competition.
Yeah, in the competition, yeah, Jiří. But so you think that if he trains in the Czech Republic, he's going to learn things that he wouldn't learn in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do when you start your day?
Maybe a better question will be ask Frank what his top record for how many beer he poured a day as a maximum.
Yeah, it's my maximum. And one day it was in the Prague in the restaurant Rokal, and it was about 900 beer for one day.
Wow. Is that a lot, Ben? Do you think that's a lot of beers in one day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, especially he pours them properly. You know,
I think we have now is
it's not like some Irish bartender that's just slapping them out. You know,
yeah. I think we have now is new record in the local. We have about 1,000 beer, maybe more.
Wow, that's a good one.
Is that like in one night or in a whole day, like afternoon and evening?
It's for all day, but this is not only about pouring, because bartenders should prepare everything for the pouring. It means 1,000 glasses washed manually, handled to be sure that the beer will be served in proper glass.
And you change the keg yourself too?
No. We are use tank. This tank is about 50 liter or 1,000 liter.
Hectoliter. Wow. Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you more, but also the guys from Big Alice are here. We're drinking something super local, and that leads us to, we can talk about, how do you care, you know, do you care where your beer is poured and how it's poured? Because he was saying that, you know, in the cellar of the brewery, the brewer feels the best about it. You guys are here in Queens starting out. You're really small. Why don't you guys introduce yourself one more time and tell us about the beer that you're drinking.
I'm Robbie. I'm the brewer at Big Alice, and we do care very much about how our beer is poured and what the circumstances are. We don't make very much beer, and as a result, we pour pretty much everything ourselves, unless Ben's team is pouring it at the Queen's Kickshaw. So, yeah, I mean, it's very local, and it's really not so far been available anywhere else. So as we expand, that's definitely something that we're going to be on top of in terms of, you know, how it's being poured and who's doing it.
All right. Ben.
Everyone
wants Kyle. Is Kyle over here from Big Alice Brewery? And he's like the most outgoing, gregarious guy, but he doesn't want to talk. I don't believe that.
It's getting me to shut up. That's the trick.
That's why always the guys that seem the quietest have the most to say, Kyle.
I'm just sitting back enjoying the beer right now and enjoying the conversation. These guys, you know, from Pilsner Urquell are great. I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing more about what they have and just say, talking beer, drinking beer, we'll have a good time.
Well, it must be cool. I mean, there's this great tradition in the Czech Republic. I mean, when was the first Pilsner brewed, Zeke? Or Vasla? You're the top spokesman in the world right here.
I could tell it. I know it quite exactly because it was 5th of October 1842 when Joseph Grohl firstly opened the barrel, and the barrel was absolutely different, in this barrel was absolutely different beer in comparison with past times. And the taste was excellent. It was nice gold color with creamy head. And this beer was very quickly spread across the Europe. And 1873, this beer was firstly served here on this American continent in Racine, nearby Milwaukee.
Wow. All right. Well, what about you, Robbie? When you guys make beer, did you ever have one of those eureka moments where I was like, finally, I found the, you know, the perfect recipe or something?
No.
We're still searching.
Every time we open a new batch, it's a eureka moment for us.
Yeah. Actually, every beer that we brewed so far has been a different beer. So we've done somewhere 53. Around 53 batches this year, each one being a little bit different from the last. So we're still searching. Maybe someday we'll figure it out and we'll just quit. But until that happens, we're going to keep brewing beer.
So that's why you hardly make any beer?
Yeah, well, it's very small amounts. So there's a lot of experimentation that goes into it. So, you know, every time we open a new beer, there's a little bit of a surprise to it. It keeps things interesting for us as beer drinkers, and it's constantly evolving. Whether it's different produce from different seasons or different spices from different parts of the world, or, in this case, we're drinking something a little bit more straightforward than what we usually do, but it's a pale ale that we brewed with wheat and single hopped with Stella. So,
let's have Frank. What do you think of this beer?
It was very great.
Yeah, I mean it's like old fashioned beer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in Czech, are there still people that do people homebrew in Czech Republic? Some people.
Václav, I think that's a question for you.
In Czech now is growing the trend, brew the beer at home, and is growing number of brew pub which produce the beer only for single bar, and it's my pleasure to travel around the world and test a different type of beer. And I mean that it's important that in this team where we are now and talk about the beer, every brewer here will agree with me that behind each glass or behind each barrel is passion and heart of the brewmaster, and I will appreciate it very, very much.
All right. Kyle, tell me something about this beer, because it's pretty good. It's Big Alice.
Well, Jimmy, that's the challenge. Like Robbie mentioned, we did 53 different beers so far this year, and I would struggle to tell you what we brewed 2 weeks ago. So remembering back, and as people come in, it requires us to actually do a little bit of homework. So we do bigger beers that are typically 8 to 12% in alcohol. So we take a long time to let everything fully ferment. So from the day we brew it until the day we pour it at our brewery, it can be 3 months. Something, and our barley wines, which we'll be trying later, those were 6 months. So we have to do our homework, go back, review the recipes, see what we did, and kind of refresh our memories of what we were thinking, where we wanted to go with this, and what was available, why we chose what we did.
Yeah, for us, 3 months means that we made 18 different beers before, from the time that we brewed that one to the time that we're tasting.
Ben, how did you ever first get to carry Big Alice? You're the only place in New York that sells it, right?
At the moment. I mean, that's probably mainly because of their size. They're not so big. To put a little bit of what they were saying in perspective, we're still pouring a little bit of the beer that we got from them from the beer dinner that we did about 3 weeks ago. And on my way over here, I thought about grabbing some beer, but I figured that they would probably bring some beer too. But turns out they don't have any of the beer left that we still have. So,
You're a wild man. Ben's a wild man. You know that.
I think it's important to say that you says we brewed 53 brews a year. Don't worry about it, because you should be bigger as well. Because Pilsner Urquell, in beginning years, first year, only 3,500 hectoliters. They brewed the beer only for themselves. I would say from beginning till nowadays, we brewed the beer in same style. Means we founded this craft process already in this year, 1842. We use only these three ingredients, simple process. Malt, Pilsen soft, water, and Saaz hops. And we brew the beer in a copper kettle with direct heating. Doesn't matter, you are now small, but important is passion, and we were lucky that our dads, our brewmasters, create for us this tradition and this passion. For
well, cheers. I'll tell you this. It's so great to have you guys from Pilsner here and cheers. The guys from cheers. Queens. So, hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes here on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
You're listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile beer cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and this is a great place. We have the smallest brewery in New York, Big Alice from Queens, along with one of the most traditional craft beers from Europe, Pilsner Urquell, the guys Vaslev, Frank, the winner of the competition, and Zeke. So, Zeke, you had some questions. So you guys are from a very traditional beer country, and yet, you know, you guys are here in America, and it's like we're all brothers, you know? So why don't you ask these guys some questions? Because I know this is you're pretty curious about these guys.
Yeah, like I have a couple of questions for guys from Big Alice. Because I'm new in the U.S. market. I moved here in January, and for me it's a big exploration since then. And you mentioned you made like 53 batches this year. Where comes the idea, like what beer you want to brew this time?
That's a good question. Even for us, we're not always sure. We typically we're brewing on Saturdays, and sometimes we're still making recipes on Thursday. I think when we got into it, we had this idea where it was going to be a kind of a conversation with our consumers, and we were going to go back and forth, and people would come to the brewery, and you know, we'd talk about what kind of flavors people were interested in, and it'd be fairly collaborative. That hasn't turned out to be the case so much. You know, we thought people would be super excited to kind of jump in there and design their own beers. But for the time being, we're basically looking for inspiration from anywhere that we can get it. I mean, it's a lot of different beers to come up with recipes for. So every time I'm at a farmer's market or at the grocery store or whatever, I'm poking around to see what it is that I missed last time or what it is that's, you know, just come onto the market that's newly ripe this season. So, you know, kind of anywhere and everywhere. Every time I go out and eat a meal, a lot of our beers have kind of been inspired by food and meals that we've had. So we have another beer here tonight that is kind of a very simple version of like a mole sauce. We've got beers in the past that we've done with teas. So we'll do like a black tea and then we'll add some honey malt and some milk sugar. You know, the idea that people will take their tea with honey and milk. So, you know, really anywhere we can get it. You know, we've done coffee beers, so other beverages from different industries.
And I would like to explain to people that we brew like we drink. You know, we seldom, if I sit down at a bar.
Wait, Kyle, say that again.
I said we brew like we drink.
I like that.
So if we sit down at a bar, you know, and I look at the beer list, you know, I'll pick, I guess, whatever looks most interesting to me to start. But then with the bartender come back and says, can I get you another? The answer is always no. Not that I don't want another beer. I just want another one of those. I may love that beer. But, you know, if I look at a list, a beer list, and there's, you know, 100 things there that I've had, but there's one that I haven't, okay. I'm ordering that one.
Uh-huh.
You know, even if my favorite beer in the world is on that list, I'll skip it to try something new.
Okay.
And that's why we brew that way is you know, we're all in that category where, you know, we'll sit down. If we're going to have a session, it's not of the same beer. It's you know, one, you know, different beer after another. And that often is a source of inspiration for us too, because, you know, I might be out somewhere and I'll have something and I'm on the phone at that moment. I'll call Robbie and I'm like, hey, guess what I just had? This was really good. We got to do something like it. Or maybe we do this and mix it with something else that we've had in the past and, you know, kind of blend and just do some, you know, some fun things and get a little crazy with it. And when you try this one, this, you know, mole beer as Robbie described it, you'll kind of get a feel for what we're talking about.
Okay, looking forward to it. And what out of the 53, what was your star so far? Like you that you said, oh, this is really good.
We don't really pick favorites. There's always a favorite kind of what's available. And what we find happens is, so we have our chalkboard up at our brewery, and it usually has maybe a dozen beers that we currently have available because things tend to sell out pretty quickly. Our batches are only about 40 bottles, so they don't last very long.
And we learned, I don't know if it was our first day open or our second, that when people ask us what our favorite is, to lie. Because when we told the truth, that sold out. You know, the beer we're opening here tonight, we get about 45 bottles per batch, period. That's it. So when those are gone, that's it. We're not.
Do you guys hand bottle?
We do.
Everything is done by hand.
These have corks in them.
Bottle, corks, labels. We tie all the bows on by hand. Up until last week, and Robbie done all of them. I finally got to contribute with that a little bit, and I'm thinking about letting him continue that process. That's really kind of painstaking.
So why do you sell to Queens Kickshaw at all? Why don't you just sell it all yourselves?
That's a good question.
When I asked them if we could do this beer dinner and told them how much beer we would need for the dinner, which was literally 10 bottles of each beer to cover each course and a 4-ounce pour for each person, they were like, let's go back and see which beers we might have 10 bottles of.
So which ones did they do at your dinner?
Fortunately, I brought our menu right here.
I knew you would. You're awesome.
So for the beer dinner,
just when I first met Ben a couple years ago, I tried to talk him out of opening a bar cafe.
Yeah, you sure did. You said, don't do it, but if you do it, make sure that you go for the good beer seal.
And you got it, buddy.
Now we did. So for the beer dinner, we actually had the purple potato tripel. We had a lemongrass turmeric white lager. It was a very strong ale, 12.6%. We had a curry leaf Lapsang Souchong smoked beer. It was made with Lapsang tea. And lastly, we had the Star Anise hybrid Baltic porter. And these are all still available at Kickshaw right now. Two of them are available by the glass, and we're going to continue with the other two pretty soon, as we run out of those. I want to add one thing that came up during the conversations about this beer dinner in terms of how they brew and you know, how they make their recipes. Because one thing that really hit home with me was thinking about beer making as in a similar way to thinking about pickling or jamming. As a way of preserving the flavors of a season, since these beers are ready about 3 months later, what you're drinking is going to be what was fresh and what was thought about and what was, where the inspiration came from 3 months prior when those ingredients were fresh at the green market or wherever the inspiration came from. So, I mean, I find that pretty inspired myself.
Oh, it's cool. You know, it's real craft beer, man. It's, you know, Exactly, like food and everything. Oh yeah, we've got a call-in too. This is now we've got set the stage. We've got our guys from Czech. We've got the new small brewery in Queens, and there's a call-in. A guy from the industry, Tad Fisco from Portland Kettle Works, who is making equipment for a lot of the new small breweries in the area as well as other places. Tad, how are you, buddy?
Great, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. Thanks for reaching out to us. So. First question I'm going to ask you, and we've got some guys from Pilsner Urquell here, and Big Alice Brewing, which is the smallest brewery in Queens, and Ben from Queens Kickshaw in Queens. What's the Portland beer scene like?
It's a fairly mature scene. I think Portland's got better than 50 breweries now in town with, I think our in-town population is around 600,000 people. I can't say that it's a saturated market because there's still people opening breweries, but yeah, it's pretty lively.
So you guys reached out. So even though you're in Portland, tell us a little bit about what your company does. And I know you're working with some new breweries in New York.
We are. We're working with a couple of breweries in New York. The we basically build small brewing systems from 3-barrel up to 15 and 20 barrel size. So kind of. In the range, we're looking for clients in that are primarily interested in retailing product, so they're going to sell it across their bar. We find those are pretty strong business plans overall. And locally there in New York, we're working with Yonkers Brewing. They're a little startup. And then we have a second startup out in Poughkeepsie, which is Millhouse Brewing. Millhouse should be brewing beer here in the next month or so. They're finishing up their construction right now, but they do have their system.
Great. And how long have you been doing this? And tell us a little more about your company.
Yeah, so we started back in 2011 and began really with just a 3-barrel brew house and tanks to go with it. Kind of more of a professional grade system, but built along the ideas of a home brewing system. So that guys could double batch on it fairly rapidly, use really high quality equipment, best possible parts and manufacturing processes. All our manufacturing is done here in Portland, and sort of give the home brewer a leg up in the ability to get into the market and start to get some beer that they could sell into a retail environment. Some guys have consequently tried to, or actually are, selling beer as wholesale off a 3-barrel system, but that's a kind of a tough nut to crack when you can't make a lot of beer. And we just have been slowly building into larger systems, and our most popular size systems right now are 7-barrel through 15-barrel, along with we still sell an awful lot of 3s, but the 7 to 15 seem to be a real hot ticket item.
Tad, the guys from the Big Alice Brewing want to ask you a couple questions. Kyle?
Sure.
Hey, Tad. It's Kyle with Big Alice Brewing.
How you doing?
We are, as Jimmy said, we're one of the smallest. Actually, I think we're now technically the smallest brewery out here. We all started as home brewers, and, as a result, we get a lot of home brewers coming in to see us, and it's tangible for them. It's something that they see we've done. We've taken that step. We're doing it on a small scale, something that they can comprehend and do, and it's exciting, and I love seeing that, excitement in other brewers, and it's very real for them to be able to do it. Recently, the New York Times did an article here about, the number of breweries we have in New York City, and you mentioned you have a population of 600,000 and 50 breweries. We have a population of 8 million and 14 breweries. They speculated that, that's oversaturated and that a number of them are going to close. I guess I'm curious what you would say to that, Ted.
Quite simply, I'd say no way are you guys anywhere near saturation. You got a long, long, long way to go. If you look at the sort of the Portland scene and the way beers are made and drank in town, what you'll find is that a lot of the breweries sell 95% of their brew right in their establishment. So they may be a brew pub, they may be a tasting room, but most of their beer is staying right at home, literally. And ultimately, looking at the profit side of it, that's kind of the best way to start, because when you can sell your beer like that to clientele who like what you make and they come in, you're going to have the highest possible profit margin for that beer that you sell. I think that that if you take that concept, you know, that every neighborhood is a village, that every neighborhood could have a brewery. That's the way it was 60, 70 years ago. Why couldn't it be that way now? And I think that Portland's kind of proving that out.
That's great to hear, Ted. I mean, we're kind of banking on the neighborhood brewery concept, so I'm real excited to hear that.
I know I've heard other people speak about that too. Ben Granger from Beercraft, they're starting to brew their own beer there, and he's a big supporter of everybody, you know, each neighborhood having their own little brewery. And as more breweries start to open up throughout Brooklyn and Queens, it seems like it's getting there. Ted, as a small brewery that is looking to expand, as most of them are, what kind of advice would you give to the small breweries out there that are looking to upgrade to professional equipment?
Our very first thing is put together a decent business plan. Think about what your costs are and live within your means. Don't think that you're going to be the next 50-state brewery that's going to be distributing all over the country. I think, you know, like I said before, stay home. Try and grow organically. Grow with a solid business plan and with good margins on what you sell right off the bat. If you can do well that way, then it's easy to grow larger. The problem I see in some instances is a lot of breweries will start out really big, and the cost of starting up and everything that they do beyond starting up grows exponentially. It grows with the size of the brewery. So it can be overwhelming. If you think you want to start with a 20-barrel brewery, you should know all the costs involved with it versus starting with a 7-barrel brewery, for instance, which you can just sell all your beer retail right at home.
So, and since you're on, Ted, Robbie and Kyle, what size brewing system do you guys have right now?
It's a third of a barrel.
So how many gallons?
10.
That's like a big pot, right?
Yeah. It's actually, it's literally a keg that's been chopped up and re-engineered as a kettle, and then we use kegs to ferment in as well.
And what's your heating system?
It's a direct fire, natural gas.
Like a burner?
Yep. Yeah, under the kettle it is. We do have an electric element as well that maintains our fine line temperature while we're mashing.
So, Tad, what system, for these guys to upgrade slightly from, you know, 10-gallon system, what would you recommend next for them?
Well, those guys are making some awesome beers. You know, they're making a lot of different beers, too. So that kind of turns into a big conversation. Tanks, how many beers do you really want to make consistently? Are you going to be making new beer all the time? Those are all conversations that we have with folks that call us up looking for systems. So I think we'd have to concentrate on that. I think to get the maximum bang for the buck, I like to say that like a 7-barrel brewery is a good size to go with. There's not a lot of difference in cost between 5 and 7. It's just how much you want to brew. But at the same time, a 3-barrel brewery is a low cost of entry. You don't have a lot of economy of scale at that size, so your production costs are going to be a little higher, maybe as much as twice as high as they will be when you get up to a slightly larger brewery like 7, 10, or 15. But there's not a lot of spread between those sizes. So it becomes an economics game. It becomes a question primarily, first, what do you have for space and what do you have for a budget? And what kind of beer are you going to make? What's your intention? And then work around all of those factors and come up with the best possible scenario.
Yeah, I think that's one of the limiting factors in New York City is just that real estate's so expensive. You know, it's tough to find enough space to work with.
Right. Yeah, I think I saw that when I spent a week out in Poughkeepsie putting in the Millhouse Brewery, and they asked me, you know, what would you do? And I said, you know, from what I can see, the best thing you could do is brew beer out here in the burbs and take it into the city because there's a ton of opportunity in there, but the cost of real estate and the cost of leases, I don't even know what they are, but I have to imagine they're sky high.
Yeah, Ted, at Poughkeepsie, what size system are they putting in?
Seven barrel.
Seven to start. So like, let's say I in the back of my bar in the East Village, I got a room. It's about, I don't know, 15 feet by 20 feet. It's tiled. It's got water, electricity. It was meant to be a prep room. It's kind of sitting there unused. And I got two narrow basement hallways to get into it. Could I put a system back there? Would it even be able to fit in down the stairs and through the alleyway and all that?
I'd have to ask how much space you have. The kettles on a little three-barrel system are 36 inches in diameter, so that would be the limiting factor. As long as we have 36 inches, you could get that in. Tanks, of course, are another question. Even at the three-barrel size, the width of the tank is the same as a seven-barrel tank, so they're about 40 inches narrowest. Probably could design them a little narrower if we needed to. 300 square feet is plenty of space. It's tight. We have a brewery in Seattle that's in 400 square feet with a three-barrel system.
So it's like if this is the gold rush of the 1849, this is the craft beer gold rush. You're like the Levi jeans, aren't you?
Yeah.
So everybody with a dream. So how can they find out more about you? Because if I have a dream and I want to open a small brewery, should I email you? Is that the best way to reach you?
Go on our website, portlandkettleworks.com, and there's a bunch of information on there. You can email me directly, or you can go through the website, and I'm Thad@portlandkettleworks.com, and through the website you'll get in touch with Chris Sears, who does our bidding and does a lot of talking to brewers all over the nation every day.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for calling on. We're going to take a short break, okay? And thanks so much, Thad. We'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few moments on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
More Dead Stars. This one's called Kill Me in the Summertime on Beer Sessions Radio. Check it out.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We've got quite a group. We've got we talked to Thad from Portland Kettleworks in Portland, Oregon on the show. We've got the guys from Big Alice. It's the smallest brewery in New York City from Queens. We've got Ben from Queens Kickshaw, one of my favorite Good Brazil bars in Queens. And we've got the guys from Pilsner Urquell. Z's kind of the spokesman. But we've got the new master bartender. He won the Pilsner Urquell Pouring Championship last night at the Bohemian Hall at the Czech consulate, Frank. And Vazla, who's their master brand guy, who can talk a story. So I'm going to give him a microphone because you're a good talker. I really enjoyed the process yesterday. I know what you were trying to do. I mean, because we've got breweries and bars, and we try to tell those stories on our show. But you guys did a great job, and Jim's here, one of your distributors. You guys went out of your way to train certain bartenders around New York City, and they had a chance to enter into competition, and Frank won. But what does he win? Because a lot of bartenders want to do more. I know they want to improve their careers, and there's a lot of great competitions out there. So what did Frank win for this?
I will start not only for your question, because I heard this discussion before. And we heard the talking about equipment for smaller and bigger breweries. And in my brain, in my heart, there is no difference between size of breweries. I split the beer, whether it's good or excellent, not from small, bigger, or mill brewery. Because if the beer from smaller brewery is brewed with heart and passion, same like from biggest one, it should be excellent. And to this competition, I think this competition this is not only about pouring. This is about presentation, bartender himself, because we would like create really, really master bartender behind the bar, and it should be man. For him will be people traveled across New York, across Brooklyn, across Manhattan. Like is it now, for example, in our small country in Czech, people traveled across Prague exactly for shift their bartender because he talk with these customers. He are receiving their troubles. And by the way, they will drink something good, for example, Pilsner Club.
Vasa, so, okay, let's say I'm taking a trip in April to Prague with you guys.
Yeah, maybe, please, welcome.
Maybe we'll come. We'll bring the whole crew, and we'll bring some American brewers and everybody. But what are some of the favorite bars that you have in Prague and places outside of Prague, like Pilsen, places to get good beers?
The communication today was about equipment for smaller breweries, and now we have in Czech or in Europe a trend that we deliver the beer to the bar in tanks, and beer in tanks is not different in comparison with beer from keg. But there is the fresh beer going straight from brewery to the bar, and our people appreciate the freshness of the beer.
So how big is the tank?
The tanks, we have two sizes. One is 1,000 liters, and one is 500 liters. And there is simple rule for pouring this beer and for choosing this bar. They should pour the beer within 2, at maximum 3 days. It means it should be a proper bar. And, you know, Czech Republic, there is the consumption about 140 liters per capita. That is it a little bit simple. And we have now more than 600 these similar bars. And we started push this quality across the board. We have these bars in Slovakia, we have in Austria, and it's 2 months we opened this tank beer in London. And maybe we will see what happened in New York.
So so first of all, a 500 or 1,000 liter, you know, keg of beer. And what does that look like? I mean, how big is it?
It's a approximately 3 times bigger than me.
And he has a classic beer belly. Look at me, I'm getting a beer belly. But this guy, Vasa, how old are you?
I'm 57. And of course, I spent all my life in brewery. I started my career in 1980. Means my professional career is longer.
I think that's when Maggie was born. Maggie, what year were you born?
Longer than 33. 33 years, but I brewed my first brew still 9 years before, because my father was working in the brewery, my dad was working in the brewery, and I spent there my study holiday. And it was funny for me.
I'll drink to that, Jimmy.
In 1971, brewed my first Pilsner Urquell, and it was so huge. Imagine for me.
Vasla kind of looks like Mario Batali,
yeah.
But he's dressed a little more conservative, in case you're wondering. And then also Vasla. So like just tell us two bars in Prague that I can go to get some good beer. Just the name of the bar.
I think it's simple. First bar where is served the beer from 1843. It means 1 year after foundation of brewery is Bar Upinkasu, and this is pub which without break served only personal quality this 170 years. And of course second bar is now named Lokal. And František has ground from this locale, and the locale or this chain is growing like mushrooms after rain. We will see what will happen, and maybe one locale will be here in New York as well. But there is still plenty of other. For example, Golden Tiger. Golden Tiger is a very popular bar because this is the bar visited by your previous president, Bill Clinton, with our president, Václav Havel. Yeah, there is many, many bars.
Well, I tell you, after whatever happened in your country, it inspired a lot of people. You know, that a poet became the president. Mm. And I think we all look to you guys and raise our glasses and a toast. And we've had on the very small brewery, Kotny, which is, it's another brewery from Czech that we like. I'm going to ask Zeed to ask Frank one more question, because Frank really is the master bartender. I've never seen a guy pour beer the way he did. He's like, when you talk about, you know, there was the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle, you know, whatever.
Maintenance,
which I read. You know, you do something. You're a line cook. You know, you're doing something where you do it every day, and at some point you get so good that you can just do it, and you don't have to try to put on an act, and you really know what you're doing. And that's really how Frank came across. And I will say, I was lucky to be a judge yesterday, and I did vote for him because he was the only guy, the Zen of pouring beer. So, Zeke, let me just please translate and ask two more questions for Frank. One, the first job he ever had in a bar, and how old he was and where it was.
Takže jaká byla tvoje první práce v baru a jak jsi byl starý a kde to bylo?
Moje první práce byla v restauraci na Vyšehradě. Bylo to restaurace u Pěti králů a bylo to v roce 1994, kdy jsem vlastně poprvé přišel do styku s Pilsner Urquell.
Okay, so his first job was in one of the Prague restaurants in a neighborhood called Vyšehrady. And the restaurant was Five Kings. And basically it was the first time he basically was introduced to Pilsner Urquell.
But what about your training as a bartender? Beyond the brand, like tell us about, you know, is you're considered a professional in your country because you're a really great bartender?
Měl jsem tam staršího kolegu, v těch letech jemu bylo zhruba asi 51 let, který vlastně, ta restaurace byla štamgastská, takže o to prostě to bylo pro mě horší, protože všichni vyžadovali určitou kvalitu piva, já jsem vlastně se v té době učil teprve.
Okay, so that's an interesting experience, because he is a basically older bartender, he was a teacher, he was 51 years old, and it was a traditional Czech restaurant where you get a lot of like regular guests, you know, they were there every single night in a week, so they expect some service. So that was much more harder for Frank to satisfy them because they were expecting some level of service and he was new in the bar.
All right, well, he's done a great job. He's pretty good. And of course, just so you know, this is like the BBC. It's our second time we've had Czech language on Beer Sessions Radio. So, all right, we're going to give a shout out. We're going to wrap up the show right now. There's a couple events coming up. We've got a big fan out there. It's Bearded Ladies. They're doing an event with Six Point Brewery and Bitters and Esters. It's called the Ladies Pint Night on September 22nd. It's at Atlantic Co. in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. And they want me to say there is no cover to attend, and there will be women brewed flight specials, live lady DJs, and backroom poker from feminists playing cards. Come and meet other craft beer loving women. All right, check out BeardedLadies.com, and they've got a great Twitter. I think it's at Bearded Ladies. They listen to our show, and Meredith is probably listening right now. Good luck with that event. A couple other events on Sunday. There's an event that I know Heritage Radio Network is backing. It's called Taste Talks. It's produced by Elle Magazine. There's a lot of seminars and talks, but there's also the All-Star Cookout on Sunday. And my guys will be there. Food Commerce Projects is producing that event. And next Saturday, September 21st, HudsonRising.com will be in Ossining, wrapping up their Hudson Valley beer season. There'll be Peekskill, Defiant, and a few other Hudson Valley breweries, along with food and smokers and stuff. So that's what's going on in New York. We had a great summer. I mean, we're at WNYC. Almost everyone in this room was on. We had the craft beer jam. We had the guys from Big Alice. We've had some beer bar owners, some really cool people. It was a great summer. And Vaslo, what do you want to say?
And we heard plenty of information about events which are expected here in New York. I should add one event. We will happy to invite you to Pilsen because we will celebrate 170 years from brewing first brew, and it will be done 5th of October. Please welcome, and I will show you how we do it. And we could taste the beer direct in beer cellars from wooden barrel, because we still ferment it and maturate.
Vasa, what's your email, buddy? What's your
email? Wooden barrels.
How can you get in touch with Vasa, Jim?
I'll get you in touch with him.
All right. Okay. That's great. It's been a great show. And the last, Robbie, tell us about the last beer we had from Big Alice, because it's pretty good. It's got a little bit of chili in there.
That's the mole-inspired beer. It's chipotle peppers and sun-dried tomatoes and Mass Brothers cocoa nibs.
And Scott Berger, say hi to the other Big Alice guy.
Yeah, so that's batch number 36. That's 8.6%. And something I think when you think about our beers that comes into play is often these are really good for pairing with food. So when you look at, you know, what's going on with the ingredients, they often pair really nicely with different styles of meals. Obviously, this one, you know, easily goes Tex-Mex or Mexican and along those lines. And the assortment of beers that Robbie's been creating recipes for has been really incredible and so diverse that, you know, really could take you across the nation, the world, in terms of styles of food to pair it to.
It's just the right spiciness. Ben, anything going on at Queen's Kickshaw in the next couple of weeks?
In the next 2 weeks, no, but we're getting...
Never again.
We're just getting really excited for Cider Week coming up. That's October 18th to 27th, I think, and we're going to do a full tap takeover with all ciders and do a cider dinner and probably some kind of other, you know, pairing thing going on all week long. We're really pumped about
it. You guys
cider,
always have kombucha too, don't you?
Yeah, we do actually. I've got a bottle of it for you here from Spiro. So,
I don't know. I'm not sold on kombucha. What about you guys, Zeke? Do you guys have kombucha and Czech?
Guys, I don't know if you remember. I believe my parents had it like 20 years ago. Kombucha.
Vasla, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Never had kombucha.
Vasla can only talk about Pilsner Urquell. That's it.
I know nothing about kombucha. But if we speak about Queen's actions, please don't forget that we have the best bartender in Hospoda. It's between 70, between 1st and 2nd Ave, 73rd Street. And Hospoda is opened after 5 p.m. And the beer served champion of USA, personal master bartender Frank Szczaska.
He's great, man. All right, so I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal. If you like this podcast, give us a good review on iTunes, too, and follow us on Twitter at @beer_sessions. Thanks to Vasla, Frank, Z, Robbie, Scott, Kyle, Ben, Thad, and Jim, who just walked in, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, and our engineer, Joe Galarraga. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. Rock on. All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.